Judith Lasker from Lehigh University. She's a professor of sociology and global health, and she's currently completing a book on short-term volunteering in global health. Welcome, Judith.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And thanks for the plug. I'll tell you a little bit about the book. This is just one piece of it. After listening to the speakers, you know, it impresses me all over again with how difficult it is to do good evaluation, how much work and effort is involved. And my focus here is on the booming industry in short-term volunteering as part of global health and the extent to which it is evaluated. So, I am. Oh, that arrow.
Yeah.
This arrow. Wrong arrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. So that's my tentative title, just another plug. I got really interested in this because of mostly my students who were, as if any of you are working in an academic setting or even in, you know, in any kind of health setting, you know that there's a huge demand on the part of students to have global health experiences, to volunteer. And it's not just students, it's ordinary citizens all over the US and in Europe. This is a growing phenomenon in many parts of the world where we're seeing more and more people from the global north of the wealthier countries volunteering in poorer countries. This is from annual surveys that are done in the US from the census showing that about 1 million Americans every year volunteer overseas. The estimate for cost and hours is from the 2007 study, but it's been pretty steady since then. And about 20% of those say they work in health-related projects. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people just looking at the U.S. and Europe. You've got the gap year is a big part of this, and there are many aspects to it. So who is sending all these people overseas? There's a bunch of different kinds of organizations. About half of the volunteers go through faith-based organizations, which varies from national, international church groups to local, very small churches. There are NGOs that are non-faith-based, many of them nonprofit, and then you have profit-making ones, many schools, and you also have a number of private companies, big corporations that sponsor volunteer trips from their employees. So the question that I started to ask as I got to know more about this whole phenomenon and got involved in it was, does it really make a difference? Does it benefit the local communities? And the first thing is there is very little evaluation. There's practically no studies of the benefit of this huge investment. And if you look at what literature does exist, it's not really evaluation literature. It's sort of divided between the more scholarly literature, which is often very sharp critiques of what people are calling drive-by humanitarianism or new colonialism, and how, you know, people from rich countries are thinking they're doing good, but they're really just benefiting for themselves. And then in the medical literature, there are a lot of questions being raised about the ethics of sending medical students and even residents, or certainly pre-meds, to sort of play doctor, you know, whether they're being allowed to do things that they wouldn't be allowed to do in this country. So there's a lot of ethical concerns that have been raised and addressed in many medical settings, how to control that. In contrast to the people who are very concerned about quality and the motivation, is this popular literature and the opinion of many people I talk to, which assumes that it must be a good thing. So when I tell people about this project, I get three kinds of answers. One is, oh, that's a really good question. Does it benefit the host communities? Secondly, oh yeah, I always thought it was a crock. And thirdly, why are you even asking that question? Of course it's good. So, you know, I come in as a social scientist saying, well, do we have any evidence for any of these kinds of responses? So in the nonprofit world generally, there's been more effort to pay attention to evaluation, to actually look at the impact of the multi-billion dollars of services. And a lot of people have begun to recognize that there hasn't been much evidence for impact in terms of real change in people's lives. So some examples of how this is changing in recent years, even the Peace Corps, which, you know, has been around for many decades, mostly has evaluated the benefit to the volunteers or to American interests. Do people like us better? Only in the last number of years have they begun to say, oh, are we actually making a difference, and begun to try to measure it. It's not that they weren't asking it, but they've begun to try to measure it. United Way, UNESCO are major organizations that are now, and some of you are very familiar with this, you know, coming up with ways to go about measuring their services. And then in certainly in public health and other fields, the whole notion of community-based participatory research really is beginning to focus on communities defining what the needs are and how the research should be done, and making sure that research is beneficial to them and that they can evaluate programs that they are involved in. So this has not been applied to short-term volunteer trips, hardly at all. These references here are mostly reviews of literature saying nobody's doing the evaluation. O'Neill has done some evaluation. Sykes has done some. I think he might be here. There he is. And so mostly when there are evaluations, they've been focused on the benefits of volunteers, what do volunteers think about their experience, or to a lesser extent, but starting to grow more on, you know, very specific programs, you know, in terms of surgical outcomes and some other kind of outcomes. So one of the questions that I asked in going into this was, how are outcomes being evaluated? Are they being evaluated, and if they are, how? So this is part of a much larger project where I'm looking at this whole phenomenon of short-term volunteering in health overseas, looking at who's doing it, why they're doing it, where are they going, how long are they staying, and what do we know about whether it's beneficial to the communities where they go. And even how much do we know about whether it's beneficial to volunteers? So oftentimes people say, well, we don't really know if we're making a difference, but it's so good for our volunteers. It's so important for our students. It's such a life-changing experience. There isn't even much data on that, which is really kind of surprising. So that needs to be looked at. So what did I do to try to begin to get a handle on this very huge enterprise? I interviewed a lot of people, host country staff members in four countries, some volunteers, sponsors of volunteer programs, and then staff who've worked in country with volunteers, and then some global health experts. I'm going to be basing this mostly on the interviews of this talk, on the interviews with the sponsor organizations, and the survey I did online of U.S.-based organizations that send volunteers overseas. So I asked in all of these, how do you know if you're making a difference? How do you evaluate your programs? So when I first, in the survey, this is from the online survey, when I said, what is the focus of your evaluation of your program? Well, you can see that 3/4 of them said what they do is evaluate the volunteer's experience. A much smaller number look at either their own organizational process or the benefit to the community. So only 40.8% said they evaluate the benefit to the community. Even fewer look at the benefit to their partners. And 17% said we don't do this. And then some of the other, there was like an other, in addition to these things, there was an other, and I got things like this. What they were evaluating was the benefit to their ministry's vision or grading for universities. There are many goals that drive these programs, and that's an important part of this picture. I'll make it back to that. Okay, so then I went back and I said, all right, this was, you can see 147 people responded to this. What kind of value out of the 177? What evaluation do you do? And then I specifically said, do you evaluate the impact on the host community? And if so, how do you do that? Well, now we only got 97 who responded. Even though people continued on with other questions, this was a difficult set of questions. So how do they evaluate specifically the impact on the host community? You can see the major one is feedback from partner organization staff. which could be surveys that's very often sort of sporadic interviewing or anecdotal reports, feedback from the community. And the third most frequent was we don't do that. And then we've got a few other things, a lot of which didn't have anything to do with feedback from the community. So, and this, down at the bottom, religious testimony. So there were definitely many of the folks who were in this sample for whom, you know, the religious mission was important, but it wasn't necessarily a driving factor for evaluation. So here are some examples of each of the top ones. The first few, I'm going back to those. Number one, feedback from partner organization staff. An example from an interview is the leader of this mission from her local church said, I talked to the pastor, he gives me feedback, and we work with the Ministry of Health. They give us some feedback. And then in the survey, one of the other interviews I did with a volunteer coordinator talked about the staff feedback. They have American staff in the communities where they send volunteers, and they talk to them. And the field staff say, you know, looks like things are going well, and they sometimes do send reports. So it varies a lot between sort of anecdotal and some more systematic observations. But the more informal ones, and this was I thought was really interesting. I can walk downtown now. I see people with glasses on I didn't see before. I have little indicators. I don't have big research. And this is actually fairly common. I can see the results. And that's not a bad thing. I'm glad that people can see results. I don't mean to say that that's, you know, no good. It is important. My pitch, of course, is to do more and better. So some of them collect statistics. They actually keep track of how many patients they've seen and how many surgeries they've done. But this was very common, no evaluation done. And the thing I said before when I talk about this and people say, oh, that's a really good question, I was getting it from people who send volunteers overseas, hundreds every year, and I said, how are you evaluating that? And they say, that's a good question. Or, it's a good question, I wish we could, I know we need to do that. We have staff who believe volunteers make a difference, but we really, really just don't know. So why aren't they doing more evaluation? When you are investing billions of dollars and sending hundreds of thousands of people to presumably make a difference, why aren't we doing it? Or why isn't it being done more? Well, as you've seen, it takes a lot of money, time, and expertise to do a good evaluation. Some of the people I talked to who've tried it cited language barriers and cultural differences in how people respond to surveys and sometimes not feeling they were getting very good data. A big, big issue is many of these programs do not have continuity. They go once or twice. They go occasionally. They don't go back. They have no way to be able to evaluate. There's not a lot of good health data. And then a lack of motivation. The assumption, as I said before, that most people believe, you know, it's good, right? We send lots of people, they see lots of patients, or they build wells, or they do lots of good things, and so it must be good, and that's enough. And the other issue, as I said a little bit before, is that it's only one of several goals. So if the organization says our goal is to help people, but it's also to give privileged people a chance to serve. Well, if that's a goal, then they need to evaluate that, but they're not as motivated, I think, to evaluate the impact on the host communities. So do these programs make a positive difference? That's the question I started with. I still don't have the answer. I know a lot more about the programs. So we don't know if they make a difference. We know that some of them seem to, and we know a lot about some that either don't benefit communities or may harm communities. And there's increasingly attention to the potential for harm by short-term volunteers. So by talking to, and I'll say a little bit more about that, by talking to the host country staff who work with volunteers, overall their perception was that this was a valuable thing, keeping in mind that some of them work for the organization, so they have a stake in receiving volunteers. But they also were very clear about the kinds of volunteers they like and the kinds of volunteers they really don't want to receive, the kinds of programs that are valuable and the kinds of programs that are not valuable. And so that's a separate paper, but it's a really important piece of this, is how is that perceived. But you know, overall positive, but with lots of suggestions on how to make it better. The ones that seem most obvious were the surgical missions, because if they're well organized and they have follow-up, the impact can be quite dramatic. It's the follow-up that's really important. What I said about some of these programs can actually cause more harm than good comes from accounts of surgical missions where there was no follow-up, where there was nobody to take care of patients who had complications, comes from accounts of groups that went to communities and went once or twice and brought a lot of medication and sort of dumped it in the community with no sense of who should be getting it and how long they should take it for and who's going to bring medication the next time when this runs out. All of those kinds of issues make some programs really questionable as far as their value and even the possibility of harm. Oftentimes these programs compete with local professionals, so they come into communities, and there was a lot written about this in terms of Haiti after the earthquake. Professionals come in from the outside, volunteers come in from the outside, they offer free services, and the professionals in the communities who depend on patients paying them are lose business. So that there can be some unanticipated consequences. And so, as I said, the organizations and volunteers have many goals. I have another paper on the volunteers' goals, because there are many as far as why they do that. And sometimes those can conflict.